on film through the intermediary of the image of the video. We see little of Haroun Farrokhi. There's one close-up shot of his face, delicately anamorphosed, as if to highlight the intensity of the relationship between the body and the film images. But above all, we just see his hands on a table, ready to intervene. We hear his voice commenting the images. On each side of his absent body, we find a video screen, screens on which we see a series of countless images from the films cited, thus appearing too in one central image. And the film is thus composed, essentially, of an incessant to and fro, left to left, of the camera, oscillating from one screen to another to reveal how hands are used within a film. All kinds of uses: love, war, caresses, terror, leisure, work. The Western hero pulling his pistol, the hand of the woman giving birth, looking for somewhere to support herself. The strength of the film lies in the movements whereby the filmmaker's hands come into play to reveal, through a variety of positions and movements, everything that they are intended to express within the shots. These are beautiful hands, able to express all of the emotions of the body. We've seen them, first of all, in a notebook, drawing out the various different elements in the opening sequence of Pick Up on South Street, the bag being opened, the lips of the actress, and then a classic directorial gesture, framing details within a shot. And then the hands literally seem to become animated to give life to the films. Two books are involved in this, leafed through at length so that the various pages are opened up, covered with diagrams and designs related to the expressivity of hands, looking at a way of constructing different languages through for sign language. There's an essay on the gestural and acting, all from the 1920s, the voice of the filmmaker says to us. If silent film had persisted, we might wonder whether cinema would have given rise to a universal language. Think of Farrokhi's dream of a dictionary for cinema, one which could inculcate an awareness of cinematographic language into us. Farrokhi sketches this out as a utopian notion in his tribute to Wilhelm Flusser. We could call it a dictionary of images, a thesaurus of vocabulary of images. We could baptize it archive of filmic expressions. A first project in this spirit was Workers Leaving the Factory. A second was The Expression of Hands. And he underlines that he was working on a third such film, on prisons. Why then do I focus so much on The Expression of Hands? Precisely because there's something entirely unprecedented, over and above everything that comes into being in his other archive films in terms of possibilities of montage and editing. What we see here is a film critic who's become an auteur, who's become a filmmaker, able to act out just with the movement of his hands, emotions drawn from within films, so many films, emotions concentrated in shots of hands with which his own hands resonate. And that is why it is not over the top to say that The Expression of Hands mimes the body of cinema. And that is why Haroun remains so precious to us. And so on and so forth. The common motif for between his earlier texts and today's texts, open to all the winds of the cinema, is that there's an enormous taste for minute details. And when he's looking at individual films, he describes individual shots in great detail. This can be found, for example, in his step-by-step commentary of the fantastic opening sequence in the metro, the scene in Pick Up on South Street, Fuller's film, at the opening of Farocchi's film, The Expression of Hands. There's this unique way of handling the sequence of phrases with logical leaps as deviant as they are obstinate, evoking the trajectories of insects or bats as they fly, zigzagging around, and yet nonetheless going straight to the heart of the idea. And that's the same logic that underpins the relationship in his films between the sequence of shots or the relationship between screens in his installations. Gestural thought, said Farocchi. He underlined how in editing each cut is an exceptional effort. That's what it constitutes. And that means that the hallmark feature of his style is that you feel all the time this effort of the cut that leads us onward into the film. Furthermore, the logic that's often paradoxical arising from this ends up seeming natural. Shaped by the art and the thought of cinema, Haroun Farocchi remained true to the cinema, making films whenever he could, even though galleries and museums and biennales called on him to make work for them since he became an artist. And furthermore, his installations underline the reality of cinema as an art of vision and editing that has always underpinned his work. Just think of his strategy, which has been implemented since his first installation, The Two Monitors, Schnittstelle, 1995, a cinema TV version with two screens, with images intermeshed one on the other and full-screen images, a strategy taken straight from the film, which was his model numéro deux by Jean-Luc Godard, the only filmmaker to whom he devoted a book. And that is why Haroun was and remains so important for us. In his immense oeuvre, which is essentially sociopolitical, analysing historical traumas and the prescriptive nature of institutions and behaviours, and thus looking at all the processes of manufacturing images, cinema plays a unique function within that, combining anthropological memory and the invention of forms. Differentiated use of the cinematic archive was very important to him, a crucial centre of his work. In the 80s, he focused on work on television, analysing television, being critical, picking up on his other analyses. In 83, he made a film which is very observant, very precious, on the shooting of America by Straub and Vuillet, a film where Farocchi was also playing a role himself. Then he analysed L'Argent by Bresson. The double face of Peter Lorre came next. Looking at the exceptional figure of the actor in M, who after a career in America came back to Germany and acted in one of the most tormented films of the post-war era, Der Verlorene, The Lost One. This protiform actor, so different, yet strangely always so identical to himself. It's fair to say we don't really know whether his inexpressive face was used as a mask or whether he gave an expression to that mask to be able to use it as a visage. A blurred harmony between the mask and the face arises, and all of the work of Peter Lorre is based on this blurring. We see all the condensed effect of this in the two highlights of this film, which comments on a life, where the mask and the face coincide. Very few films announced the arrival of fascism so precisely as M did. Few films described it subsequently with as much intensity as Der Verlorene, The Lost One. The train that speeds across the screen at the opening of the film and also at the conclusion of the film, heading straight towards the viewer as towards the hero who's about to commit suicide, seem to recall the death trains crossing Germany from 42 to 44. 20 years later, the double screen has been installed, which Verrocchi was such a fan of, has underpinned his striking return to critique. Analyzing films in new means. On construction of Griffith's films from 2006, the systematic comments on the correspondences between the delimitation of the shots and the opening and closing of doors in one of Griffith's shorts, The Lone Dare Operator. There's a number of fragments of intolerance too, where the system becomes more flexible to focus on the plurality of shots, intensification of montage. You see a dialogue between lovers in particular from one side of another to a door. Then there's an archaeological approach, taking precise situations to look at social structures, intermeshings. Verrocchi unveils the functioning of these, looking at this through the prism of their historical development. Workers leaving the factory picks up on Lumière's first film, picks up on 100 years of cinema to identify the modalities of a topos that is so variable, whether you look at the Lumière factory, the Ford factory, the Siemens factory. Think too of the workers in Metropolis bowing down before the lift. Think of Marilyn Monroe in the fish factory in Clash by Night. Think of all of these goings out and comings in. 100 years of cinema have shown more prison doors and the doors of institutions of correction than the doors of factories. He then moved on to conceiving a new film, also made up entirely of extracts, Prison Images. There were some slight differences. In Workers Leaving the Factory, there were only a few shots with saturated colors, for example, a finger pressing on a button on a console to illustrate the montage technique deployed. Prison Images opens up resolutely to other images, new ones, digital ones, focusing on the automated processes of surveillance, animimetics, which is now purely abstract, of bodies within the space of the prison, as in the installations that Verrocchi increasingly devoted to warfare images and images taken from video games. Looking at these images, stripped of soul, without the soul, we're increasingly struck by the intensity of the excerpts from the film selected. For example, Un Chant d'Amour, A Song of Love by Jean Genet. We could also see Verrocchi's love for Bresson and Condamné à mort s'est échappé, for example, is shown with close-ups underlining the imprisonment and the end of Pickpocket too, the back and forth of fantastic shots between Jean and Michel seeking to embrace through the bars. It's interesting to note that there were interesting parallels between the film version of Prison Images and the installation version with the double screen. I thought I was seeing conflicts. Interesting parallels there. Workers Leaving the Factory took 10 years from the first phase to be shown in 2006 in 12 monitors on in series, entitled Workers Leaving the Factory in 11 Decades. The double screen also has a particular virtue all of its own. To compare the old and the new, Counter Music from 2004, as part of Lille's Capital of Culture celebrations, has a striking parallel between the big city and all the films celebrating that. Think of The Man with the Movie Camera by Giga Vertov, Symphonie der Großstadt by Walter Ruttmann. And on the other hand, the technological network of image systems, which now are involved in generalized surveillance of the metropolis, the subtly varied alternance of images moving from one screen to another, striking contrast between the black and white of silent films and the flat, depressing sadness of anonymous images, is something that makes this work a full spectrum analysis of the control society, Deleuze predicted, whilst also being an ode to silent cinema, to its plasticity and its inventiveness, and to the intermeshed compositions of the shots. Beethoven and Ruppmann were thinking of something else. The masses, for them, were not a heap, a pile to be undone and reflected in figures, image processed by a program, programs that aim to reduce the work of the gaze or abolishing it. And then the third element is meta-subjective. Those who've written about Harun Faruqi and Interface have emphasized, more or less explicitly, that this first two-screen installation, focusing on analyzing his own filmmaking work, became something a little like an autoportrait, in both senses of the term, both in pictorial terms and literary terms, because there's one figure, his own, his face, his hands, inhabiting these images, a discourse of words, his words. Recall on the screen certain images from his previous films, and they weave a web within which the autoportrait, the self-portrait, as Michel Beaujour has said, is an imaginary wandering or stroll through a system of places, a depository of images and memories. And so here we have his films with shots or blocks of shots, remembering each other and being remembered in incessant passage from one screen to another. So we have this matrix work, this framework work. But it may be interesting, particularly those who have an intimist relationship with cinema, to look at a film made 2 years later, also from a mix of newly filmed footage and film excerpts, The Expression of Hands, which looks simple but has a stunning effect. It simulates the reality of an installation, but it's not an installation. It's focused above all on film through the intermediary of the image of the video. We see little of Harun Faruqi. There's one close-up shot of his face, delicately anamorphosed, as if to highlight the intensity of the relationship between the body and the film images. But above all, we just see his hands on a table, ready to intervene. We hear his voice commenting the images. On each side of his absent body, we find a video screen. Screens on which we see a series of countless images from the films cited, thus appearing too in one central image. And the film is thus composed, essentially, of an incessant to and fro, left to right, right to left, of the camera, oscillating from one screen to another to reveal how hands are used within a film. All kinds of uses: love, war, caresses, terror, leisure, work. The Western hero pulling his pistol, the hand of the woman giving birth, looking for somewhere to support herself. The strength of the film lies in the movements whereby the filmmaker's hands come into play to reveal, through a variety of positions and movements, everything that they are intended to express within the shots. These are beautiful hands, able to express all of the emotions of the body. We've seen them, first of all, in a notebook, drawing out the various different elements in the opening sequence of Pickup on South Street, the bag being opened, the lips of the actress, and then a classic directorial gesture, framing details within a shot. And then the hands literally seem to become animated to give life to the films. Two books are involved in this, leafed through at length so that the various pages are opened up, covered with diagrams and designs related to the expressivity of hands, looking at a way of constructing different languages through for a sign language. There's an essay on the gestural and acting all from the 1920s, the voice of the filmmaker says to us. If silent film had persisted, we might wonder whether cinema would have given rise to a universal language. Think of Farocki's dream of a dictionary for cinema, one which could inculcate an awareness of cinematographic language into us. Farocki sketches this out as a utopian notion in his tribute to Wilhelm Flusser. We could call it a dictionary of images, a thesaurus of vocabulary of images. We could baptize it archive of filmic expressions. A first project in the spirit was workers leaving the factory. A second was the expression of hands. And he underlines that he was working on a third such film, on prisons. Why then do I focus so much on the expression of hands? Precisely because there's something entirely unprecedented. Over and above everything that comes into being in his other archive films in terms of possibilities of montage and editing, what we see here is a film critic who's become an auteur, who's become a filmmaker, able to act out just with the movement of his hands, emotions drawn from within films, so many films, emotions concentrated in shots of hands with which his own hands resonate. And that is why it is not over the top to say that the expression of hands mimes the body of cinema. And that is why Haroon remains so precious to us.